ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। अथानन्तरमावेक्षन् यथा जिज्ञासितागमः गुरवे दक्षिणां दत्त्वा स्नायाद् गुरुवनुमोदितः 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 अथानन्तरमावेक्षन् यथा जिज्ञासितागमः गुरवे दक्षिणां दत्त्वा स्नायाद् गुरुवनुमोदितः। Matajis, so we'll read the word-to-word meanings. Atha, thus, anantaram, after that, avekshan, desiring to enter family life, yatha, properly, jignyasita, having studied, agamaha, the Vedic literature, gurave, to the spiritual master, dakshinam, remuneration, datva, giving, snayat, the brahmachari should cleanse himself, comb his hair, put on nice clothes, etc. Guru, by the spiritual master, anumoditaha, permitted. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A brahmachari who has completed his Vedic education and desires to enter household life should offer proper remuneration to the spiritual master, bathe, cut his hair, put on proper clothes, and so on. Then, taking permission from the Guru, he should go back to his home. Purport. This verse describes the process called samavartana, or returning to one's home after finishing Vedic education in the ashram of the spiritual master. One who cannot concentrate all of his desires in the devotional service of the Lord is attracted to householder life, and if this attraction is not regulated, one will fall down. Being covered by the ignorance of fruitive activities and mental speculation, a living entity seeks enjoyment outside the devotional service of the Supreme Lord and becomes a non-devotee. One who takes to family life must rigidly follow the Vedic rules and regulations in order to avoid the collapse of his spiritual determination. One who enjoys intimate sense gratification with women must become duplicitous in his dealings with others, and consequently falls down from the platform of simple, pure life. When the mind is disturbed by lust, one begins to resent the principle of submission to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure devotee. And the dark clouds of one's offensive mentality completely cover the light of spiritual knowledge. One should dovetail his propensity to love someone by serving the lotus feet of a pure devotee. As stated in Vedic literature, one who worships Govinda, Lord Krishna, but does not worship his devotee, is not to be considered an advanced Vaishnava. Rather, he is to be considered a proud hypocrite. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaura Tvise Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langete Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum De Natarinam. Hare Krishna. So today we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, Verse Number 37. So before I begin, I would like to seek blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I can speak something meaningful. So this is a very... This verse describes the transition of a devotee or a person from Brahmacharya Ashram into the Grihastha Ashram. So it is a transition period. Like we have in our temple VT, and then you can decide where to go next. So Varnashram system is designed by Krishna so that one gets purified and gradually one will also get elevated in his consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, also explains the purpose of Varnashram Dharma. Atha Pumbir Dvijasreshta Varnashrama Vibhagasya Svanushtitasya Dharmasya Hamsiddhir Haritoshanam. So the goal is clear. The goal is, whether you stay in Brahmacharya Ashram, Grihastha Ashram, the goal is to please Hari, to please Krishna, to satisfy Krishna by one's activities and various things. And so there is an element of sacrifice both in Brahmacharya Ashram and also in Grihastha Ashram. It is not that, you know, the other side of the garden is green. It's not like that. So both the places, there is some sacrifice that has to be done, tapasya that has to be done in order to get purified and elevate one's consciousness also. Bhagavad Gita also speaks about this in 4th chapter, 26th verse. Srotra dinindriyananye samyagnishu juvati shabda din vishayananya indriyagnishu juvati. So in this verse it has been mentioned, so what is the sacrifice that has to be done by a brahmachari? So it is said that a brahmachari has to sacrifice his ability to hear, ability to speak in the process of Krishna consciousness. He cannot use his senses in the process of sense gratification. On the other hand, a grihastha is meant to engage his senses, but in a regulated way, in a very controlled way. Otherwise, there is no use. So we see that brahmacharis, when they live in the ashram of a guru, they try to restrain their senses from sense gratification. And they engage their hearing process in Harer Namanu Kirtanam, seeing the objects, deities of Lord Krishna, etc. However, it is mentioned in this verse that when a student in a Gurukul system or a brahmachari in a Gurukul system, he cannot concentrate all his desires in the devotional service of the Lord, then he can decide to change into Grihastha Ashram. So that is the transition period. So in Grihastha Ashram, we see that, it's not a license. Marriage is not a license for sense gratification. A person can offer the so-called sense gratification in Grihastha Ashram in the service of Krishna. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Kamosmi. So this kama, which is based on the religious principle, can be used in the service of Krishna by begetting a Krishna conscious children. So as we discussed, the objective of any ashram is to take ashraya of Krishna, to take shelter of Krishna. So Krishna should be the center for any ashram. And one has to go through the process of purification through the channel of Varnashram or by staying in Brahmachari ashram or Grihastha ashram, whatever ashram you are in. But the process of purification has to be there. Otherwise, we cannot elevate our consciousness in spirituality. So we have seen, Rishabdev also tells to his sons, what is the purpose of this human form of life? So Rishabdev says, the purpose is to perform tapasya. And also we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Brahma appears from the lotus navel of Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, Mahavishnu. So at that time, so he is also confused about his purpose, what to do. You know, what is my purpose, what is the aim of my life? What is the work that I have to do? Then he is also recommended to do tapasya. So when he performed tapasya, then the knowledge was revealed to Brahmaji. So anything that is achieved easily is not sustainable, isn't it? So when a person goes through a lot of effort, he puts a lot of, you know, endeavor into that, then when he achieves the result, then that is more sustainable than something which is earned very easily. So similarly, so whether a brahmachari or grihastha, when he goes through the process of purification, which is mentioned in the scriptures, then he can elevate his consciousness in a proper way. So our acharyas has given us that, you know, a sadhaka, whether he is a brahmachari or grihastha, when he goes through the process, the 9 stages of devotional service, you know, which is a process of purification, then he can also know at what stage he is. You know, we can also know ourselves, what is my stage, what is my level. And then based on that, he can also decide how to elevate further in Krishna consciousness. So we see that basically there are distress that is caused due to 5 things. That is ignorance, that is nescience, false ego, material attachments, envy and mundane engrossment. So these are the 5 causes of distress for any person in this world, especially, you know, in spirituality. So ignorance, false ego, material attachments, envy and mundane engrossment. Now we see how this, you know, process, different stages of devotional service, you know, sadhaka has to go through, and what are the obstacles one face during these stages. So we know that a devotee, when he starts its pilgrimage on the path of devotional service, the first thing is that he develops a little faith, Shraddha. And this Shraddha must be, you know, must have come because of his association or because of his, you know, some kind of praise he must have done, some Sukriti which he has accumulated by praising devotees, by praising the process of Krishna consciousness. And this faith gradually creates a desire in the heart of a devotee to associate with someone who is advanced, some sadhu sangha. So that leads to, you know, association with a sadhu sangha. I remember when I first came to Mumbai, so I didn't know anyone, I didn't know any devotee here in Mumbai. So then somehow by Krishna's mercy, I came in contact with one devotee who used to stay in IIT base in Pavai. So then when I went there on one particular day to attend the program, and I was completely mesmerized by the whole program. And then because of that association, because of that, you know, the lecture which I heard from there, I developed a desire to associate with all the devotees regularly. And then one day I told the preacher, at that time Gaurang Prabhu used to come there, I told him, Prabhuji, can I stay in the base? You know, so that I can take association of all these Vaishnavas here. So that desire came in because I heard about the process from the devotees, and slowly then I started taking Sadhu Sangha. So, and after Sadhu Sangha, then the process of Bhajana Kriya starts, the process of serious devotional activities. So Bhajana Kriya includes hearing, chanting, deity related services, any other services for that matter. And in Madhurya Kadamini, it is mentioned that Bhajana Kriya, it has two parts, that is Anishtita Bhakti and Nishtita Bhakti. So we'll discuss briefly about all these different aspects. So what is this Anishtita Bhakti? Unsteady devotional service, which again has six gradations in it. Like first one is Utsahamai. When we first come to Krishna consciousness, there is a lot of enthusiasm, you know. It is mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sudden enthusiasm, you know, we get excited when we first come to Krishna consciousness. I remember one story of Srila Prabhupada. So one time Prabhupada, along with his disciples, he was going by the side of the road. Then Prabhupada sees a big mansion and he tells all his disciples, I think we should have this building for Krishna. And all the disciples said, Jai Prabhupada. So then again they walked little more. And then Prabhupada saw a beautiful car. And Prabhupada said, I think we should have this beautiful car for Krishna. Jai Prabhupada. And they went little further. And there Prabhupada sees a huge dog. And Prabhupada says, I think we should have this dog for Krishna. Jai Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada said, you rascal, what is the use of this dog in Krishna consciousness? So the point is, like, you know, there is so much of enthusiasm in the beginning. You know, we are so much excited. So we think that devotional service is so nice, you know, let me do it. That is the initial enthusiasm. And then the stage comes, which is Ghana Tarala. So it is like, we take an example of a student. So a student who concentrates deeply in his studies, you know, sometimes he's so enthusiastic to study. But it sometimes what happens, you know, because of his inability to understand some of the subject, so he becomes morose, disappointed, you know, not able to understand. So similarly, a devotee, a sadhaka also goes through this, you know, opposing attitudes of sometimes enthusiastic and sometimes lethargic, lazy, not able to, you know, perform devotional service properly. So that is Ghana Tarala, you know, opposing attitudes. And then comes the next gradation, that is Vyuda Vikalpa. That is the vacillation, you know, which various thoughts that comes in the mind of devotee. So the thoughts could be, you know, so many, like, sometimes the devotee may think, I shall convert my house into a temple and remain there happily practicing devotional service. Gharek Mandir. I will make my temple, house, Vaikuntha, a temple. And again, sometimes he feels that, you know, I should leave my family, home, everything, and I should go to Vrindavan and perform devotional service. And various kinds of, you know, thoughts keeps coming in his mind. And sometimes a thought comes like, you know, I should plunge into the pool of sensual pleasures, you know, until I get satisfied. First, let me get fully satisfied in all kinds of various sense gratification. And later on, maybe I will, you know, relax and do Bhajana Kriya. And sometimes he also hears from the scriptures. Scriptures also says that, you know, family and wife, they are like deep, dark well. You know, one should not get into it. So many things. So maybe I should leave at once and, you know, take to Krishna consciousness seriously. So many different varieties of thoughts keeps coming. And in also scriptures, he hears that unless one develops loving devotion to the Lord, his home is a prison, you know, then I should get out of this prison as immediately as possible. So these different kinds of, you know, doubts, state of doubt and vacillating, you know, keeps coming in his mind. And this is called as Vyuda Vikalpa. So he is not sure of his nature, how to engage his nature in Krishna consciousness. You know, such different thoughts keep coming in his mind, becomes confused in this state of Vyuda Vikalpa. And the next gradation is Vishaya Sangara. So here the devotee feels that, you know, sometimes he gets desires of sensual enjoyment, which is forcing his too much, you know, fulfilling them. And so his attraction for chanting and hearing comes down little because of his, you know, desire for sense enjoyment in his heart. And sometimes he also fall prey to the sense enjoyment. And at that time he feels very remorseful. Why did I do that? You know, some kind of repentance is there. So there is always a war in the heart of the devotee between, you know, sense gratification, able to, you know, stop it, not get into it. So sometimes a devotee becomes victorious in his war against Maya, against these desires, different kinds of desires that are there in the heart. And sometimes he gets defeated. For example, we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kala Krishna Das, who was accompanying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his tour to South India. So even though he was associating with the greatest personality, Lord himself, Lord Krishna himself, he could not able to control his desires of sense gratification. And we know how Mahaprabhu pulls him back from the clutches of Bhattaharis. And then Mahaprabhu, you know, shows his displeasure of what Kala Krishna Das did. So he becomes very repentant, remorseful of what he did. So that is the attitude a sadhaka should have, even though if he has committed some, you know, unwanted things. And then comes niyama kshama, the next gradation in bhajana kriya of anishtita bhakti, unsteady devotional service. Sometimes a devotee vows to increase his devotional activities. Many times we also went through this experience. You know, kal se I will do extra rounds. I will do 20 rounds instead of 16 rounds. And then I will, every day I will read at least 30 minutes Srimad Bhagavatam or 1 hour of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we keep making such kind of resolutions every now and then. So, but we have seen that many times we could not able to fulfill our resolutions. So daily we make these vows and the last moment we are not able to honor them properly. So this is like niyamakshama. So what is the difference between Vishaya Sangara and Niyamakshama? In Vishaya Sangara, we are pulled by the desires of sense gratification. And here in Niyamakshama, we are making some kind of resolution to, you know, improve our Krishna consciousness. But we fall back because of a lack of determination. But however, we should all remember that Krishna is there to give us strength. You know, and we can also increase our strength by association and also performing devotional services in the association of devotees. So Prabhupada also many places he emphasized devotional service has to be practiced in the association of devotees. That is more important. And the last gradation in this bhajana kriya process is taranga rangini. It is the last stage of the anishtita bhakti. So where, you know, devotee gets adoration and distinction and he gets attached to this name, fame, recognition. So as we know, when we come to Krishna consciousness, after some time, we also develop some qualities, beautiful qualities. And then, because of these qualities, it may happen that we get attached to the qualities and we may misuse those qualities also, like that. So Bhakti Devi, she watches us all the time, you know, whether I should giving more bhakti or not. Whether we have more priority for bhakti or not. So based on that, we are given more bhakti. So it is said many people often get stuck at this level of taranga rangini because of those, you know, name, fame, recognition which we are getting. So we get attached. And it is also said that if we remain too long at this level, we will start to regress also. We will also come down. So we need to put an endeavor to cross this particular gradation of bhajana kriya. And after bhajana kriya, the most difficult path, the most difficult part, that is anartha nivritti stage comes. You know, the stage where there is so much of unwanted desires that are there in the heart and we are struggling to get rid of them. Initially, it may appear that these unwanted desires, they are like, you know, they are part of the bhakti lata. But actually they are the offshoots that have come, which are actually taking all the nourishment that is given instead of the nourishment being sent to Bhakti Lata. So what are these? mundane desires for position, adoration, opulence, and we get allured by them, and we get entangled in these different anarthas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further says there are four kinds of anarthas which are giving us a lot of trouble. That is, the first one is duskritotta, anarthas which are arising from sinful activities, you know, and we also go a lot of suffering because of this. So these anarthas come because it has become a habit, a previous habit, are not able to give it up. And then comes sukritotta anarthas, which are arising from the pious activities. So how come even pious activities, you know, we get anarthas? It is mentioned that because of the pious activities that we have performed previously, we get an atmosphere or a circumstance in which, you know, we may fall prey to, you know, our cravings of sensual pleasure. When there is cozy atmosphere or comfortable atmosphere, then we may not give so much attention to bhakti. We become little slackened in our process of bhakti. So pious deeds also, they facilitate enjoyment of the senses. And one who is not controlled, then he fall prey to these different enjoyments. And next comes aparadotta anarthas. Anarthas coming from offenses, which is one of the most dangerous. And in this, nama aparad is the one which actually causes, puts us into difficulty. It is mentioned that seva aparad is not included in this list, aparadotta anarthas. Why seva aparad is not included is also mentioned. It is said that by reciting prayers, like we do deity service and at the end we recite prayers, and with proper consciousness we have to pray. And by reciting proper prayers and by continuous practice of devotional service, we can get rid of seva aparad. But nam aparad is a little difficult. We have to work on it. And there will be a lot of obstacles from the path of bhakti, and they are also necessary for all us to become sincere. Like it is mentioned, there are five internal obstacles. Now one may be wondering, why are we discussing these subjects, you know, in full detail, or, you know. So it is mentioned that a person, everyone has to go through the purification process, and one should also know where we stand, so that we can make a conscious endeavor to, you know, improve our consciousness, improve our spirituality. So that is why this is very important. So now, nishtha bhakti, that is nishtita bhakti or steady devotional service, it also has five obstacles which we have to, you know, very consciously try to avoid them. And they are laya, vikshepa, apratipatti, kashaya and rasaswad. So when these five obstacles are removed, then we can fix ourselves in steady devotional service. Till then it is very difficult. So it has been explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur what each of these obstacles means. So laya is the weakness which all of us go through, you know, sleepiness, especially during the Bhagavatam class. Sometimes some people face problem during the chanting, some, you know, have problem during the hearing process of Bhagavatam. So different people have different, sometimes one time one devotee was mentioning, you know, my first four rounds they are very comfortable, I can do it very nicely, but after four rounds it becomes so difficult. You know, laya, like a wave tossing here and there. And one devotee mentioned that first eight rounds I do nicely, then afterwards it becomes difficult. For some people it is like the reverse. So we have this problem every day, we face this problem, laya, oscillating. And vikshepa. Vikshepa is like distraction due to prajalpa, discussion on mundane subject matters, hearing topics which are not connected to Krishna, which are not connected to devotional service, basically prajalpa. And the next obstacle is apratipatti, which is not neither laya nor vikshepa. So it is something different, like maybe mood. Today I don't have mood to perform devotional service. But anyway, we have to complete our 16 knots. But still we have this, you know, mood swings, you know, sometimes we don't feel like doing it and we do it just for the sake of doing it. So this is apratipatti. And kashaya is the next obstacle in the process of steady devotional service. So sometimes while performing our devotional activities, you know, we also display anger, greed and arrogance during our different services. So that is kashaya. It is not Ayurvedic kashayam, it is a different kashaya. Rasaswad means the mind is attached to sense pleasure. Even while performing devotional activities, we have experienced that, you know, mind is wandering on sense objects, you know, on desires of sense gratification. So that is rasaswad. And because of which, we are not able to concentrate in our devotional activities. So it is mentioned that anartha nivritti process, it removes both prarabdha and aprarabdha anarthas. All of us know this process is very long and very painful also, anartha nivritti. But in order to advance in our devotional life, we have to go through it. Like in one of the lectures by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he was mentioning about this pastime of Putana. So Putana, when she first saw Krishna, the baby Krishna who was sleeping with his closed eyes, so the moment she saw Krishna, she appreciated beauty of Krishna. Oh, he's so beautiful. Who is the mother of this child who is not taking care of the child? So she, you know, this was the thought in her mind. She appreciated the beauty of Krishna. But later on she came to her senses, the wrong senses, that is, you know, my prescribed duty is to kill babies. You know, I should not think like that. Then I should kill this boy, kill this child. And then Krishna sucked her milk, and then in the process he also sucked the very life of Putana. So it was very painful for Putana. She was saying, you know, leave me, leave me, leave me. You know, but Krishna decided that, you know, you came in the disguise of a gopi, in a motherly, as a mother. So I will not leave you so easily. I will make you my mother and then leave you. So he was also adamant in delivering Putana. So we see that For Putana, it was so difficult, the process of anartha nivritti. She was going through very great pain. So similarly for us also, this process of purification may be very painful. But nonetheless, we have to go through it. Maybe voluntary also. And Maharaj also mentions about Kaliya. Kaliya also went through the process of anartha nivritti. So painful for him. And Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. And first the poison came out from the body. All the unwanted things came out from the body. And the blood also came out. And finally he came to his senses. He became purified. So although it is painful, we have to go through the process of purification. So here Krishna has personally purified Kaliya and also Putana. But in our case, it may happen through the agency of material energy. You know, so we have to be maybe ready for that day. So Krishna knows our shortcomings and weakness, and Krishna therefore gives us a customized package of purification. For each one of us it may be different package. Some people, they may have to go through the purification process in the form of health crisis, some people in the form of financial crisis, different people, you know, different kinds of purification. So we cannot avoid it, we have to go through it. Sometimes this kind of subject matter to discuss, it's also very scary, you know, because it exposes us to ourselves. We want to avoid looking inwards, you know, what is there inside. For example, it is said, people who are outside, they never discuss on the topic of death. They are so scared about, you know, discussing about this subject matter. And we devotees, we are also scared about certain subject matters, like, you know, discussion on how to improve our holy names, or discussion on how to get rid of our anarthas, how to progress. Because we don't want to see our ugly nature, you know, every now and then it's become difficult. But nonetheless, we have to do it in order to, if we want to really advance in spirituality. So what is the solution that is offered by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur? He mentions in Madhurya Kadamini, chanting is the only remedy. Chanting without offenses is the remedy that has been mentioned by the scriptures also. But that chanting should be offenseless. That is the most important requirement. So there are many offenses that has to be avoided, especially the nama aparad which I mentioned some time ago. That nama aparad is like, in order to progress in spirituality, we have to avoid the 10 offenses against the holy names which we daily recite. So we'll just discuss about one, the most important nama aparad, blaspheming a Vaishnava, the first nama aparad. It is also same with the third nama aparad, that is disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. Suppose if someone blasphemes a Vaishnava, so what are the things one should do and what are the things one should avoid? So we should try to discuss on that. So when we come to know that we have offended a Vaishnava, most often we don't accept it, but when we accept, we must bitterly repent for our low behavior. That is the first thing at least we should do. We should honestly, genuinely, we should repent. And offender must also beg forgiveness by falling at the feet of the devotee until he gets until he is pardoned. And if that is also not working, then he should satisfy the devotee by pleading, by praising, by offering repeated obeisances. Somehow we should try to please the devotee. But if we are unable to do that, the devotee who got offended, he is not getting pacified by our words, by our services also, then what we should do? In our hearts, we should think that, I am such a lowly person, and for this offense, maybe I have to go to hell for billions of years. And then, thinking in this mood, we should take shelter of again holy names. So we don't have any other way, any other hope other than chanting of the holy names. We should continue our chanting process. And maybe one day, time is very powerful. By the influence of the time also, maybe we should also dance in Guru Puja together. So slowly, we can get rid of the offenses at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. So it is mentioned that by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we can also get rid of this offense. But there is a danger in this. What is the danger? We may start thinking, it is already mentioned, by chanting we can get rid of the offenses. Why should I fall at the feet of the Vaishnava? Kyun kshama mangne ka? Zarurat kya hai? There is a way around. No. So that is not going to work. Again, this leads to the seventh nama aparad. Committing offenses on the strength of the holy name, chanting of the holy name, which is even more dangerous than the first aparad. And sometimes the offender may also rationalize by saying, according to scriptures, who is a Vaishnava? I have not offended a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is someone who is compassionate in nature, who is peaceful, who is tolerant. But I don't see these qualities in that person. So there is no need to ask for forgiveness. So he may also think in this way. So scriptures mention that no. Even if a person is a cheater, a hypocrite, a pretender, with so many faults in him, but still, if he has started, performing devotional service, he is a sadhu, he is a Vaishnava. And we have to beg forgiveness from him. There is no other way. And Shastra also mentions that many times a Mahabhagavata devotee, pure devotee, even if someone has offended at his lotus feet, he will brush it aside, he doesn't take it so seriously. He forgets about it. And the devotee may think, he has not taken any offense, so there is no problem. But many times it happens that the followers of the devotee, they may not be pleased by our behavior. And they may also curse us. Okay. For this offense, you may have to suffer. So sometimes a follower of a great personality, they may take the offense more seriously than the person himself. And in that case, we have to go through the, difficulty. So in all the cases, we should beg forgiveness, even if the person has just started his bhakti. So that is the important thing which helps us to avoid this offense against, blaspheming a devotee. So pure devotees are independent, like Krishna is independent, they are also independent. Sometimes they display great magnanimity over someone who is very sinful also. Example is like, you know, two examples are mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So when Jada Bharat, he was lifting the palanquin of King Rahugana, so many times, you know, he was slipping. So king became very furious and king displayed his anger over Jada Bharat. And even though he was so cruel, not cruel, but he was so disrespectful towards Jada Bharat, but Jada Bharat was so compassionate, he started giving him the knowledge, Brahma Gyan. So that is the nature of pure devotee. He doesn't take seriously the offenses. On the other hand, he actually bestows unlimited blessings upon the other person. Another example comes of Nityanand Prabhu when he was offended by Madhai. So he was about to kill Nityanand Prabhu, but still Nityanand Prabhu forgave him. And we know what happened. He got the ultimate blessings from both Nityanand Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these anarthas, they will be there. It's not that after anartha nivritti is completed, the next stage comes, steady nishtha comes. No, everything goes on parallelly. So the process of anartha nivritti may go on till we come to the platform of bhava also. But we have to be patient and we have to patiently endure through these 9 stages and come to the final stage of, you know, prema bhakti. And in scriptures there are also some stories of devotees who even at a mature state of consciousness, Krishna consciousness, they also commit offenses. So how to understand that is also important. Example that is mentioned is that of Chitraketu Maharaj. So Chitraketu Maharaj, you know, he has offended Lord Shiva. So it is mentioned that when he was cursed by Mother Parvati, so he took the curse very normally, he accepted the curse. But in his heart, his consciousness never came down. Even though he got a body of Vritrasur, but his consciousness never came down. He was on the same consciousness. And at the end, we can see how he got delivered. That is more important. And also the example of Jai Vijay. So apparently when they offended 4 Kumaras, so from the external, if you see, you know, how is this possible? Even in Vaikuntha, pure devotees can also commit offenses. So how to understand that? So the real understanding is that Jai and Vijay, they knew the heart of Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Then, you know, he had this desire to fight with someone. And Jai Vijay desired that, you know, maybe although we are not so powerful, but we can give a try. And we can, your Lord, you can fight with us. So they also had this desire. So it was all the leela of the Lord. So proper understanding is needed, you know, such cases where, you know, devotee commit offenses even at the mature state of Krishna consciousness. So we were discussing what is the solution. Solution is offenseless chanting. And Srila Rupa Goswami also mentions in Upadeshamrit, Nectar of Instruction, Shyat Krishna Nama Charitadi Shitapta Vidya Pitto Patapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Kintu Adarat Anudinam Khalusaiva Jushta Swadve Krama Dhavati Tadgada Moola Hantri. So in this verse, it is nicely explained how one should take to the process of Krishna consciousness. Although it is not palatable in the beginning, but gradually how we can improve in our Krishna consciousness. So in this verse it is mentioned, what is the disease? The disease is that we are attached to the sense enjoyment of this world, and that is the disease condition. And the example, the metaphor that is given in this verse is, a person who is inflicted with jaundice, nothing tastes good. Even now, the sugar candy tastes bitter to such a person. Similarly, a person who is inflicted with the disease of this bhavarog, this having the desire to lord over the material nature, for him, the name, form, qualities and pastimes of Krishna, they are not palatable. He is not interested in such subject matter. That is the disease. And it has been further explained that at an individual level, like the disease is caused, the causes of this disease is ignorance. ignorance. Avidya is the main cause of this disease. That, you know, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Jivare Swarup Hoye, Krishnera Nityadas. And another one which is mentioned is forgetfulness of Krishna. Krishna Bhulya Jiva, Bhogavancha Kare, Nikataste Maya Tare, Japatiya Dhare. So, because we have forgotten Krishna and our connection with Krishna, so that's why we are suffering in this world, and that is the diseased condition of the living entities. And the other side, the collective propaganda, that is, which is atheism, is being propagated in the society, and that is also adding more and more layers of ignorance to the already existing ignorance. The layer of ignorance is becoming thicker and thicker because of this atheistic propaganda also. So that is the disease of trying to lord over the material nature, which is caused due to ignorance. So one may chant for so many years. You know, for Prabhuji, I am chanting from such a long time, but I am not getting any ruchi in the process of devotional service. So the main reason could be because of the offenses that we are committing at the lotus feet of devotees, the 10 offenses which we daily recite, nama prad. So one should consciously endeavor to get rid of these offenses in order to progress in our devotional service. So it is mentioned that in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we should try to focus on these two things. First one is conviction and then commitment also. Conviction that this process is very important for me. Conviction that, you know, this is the highest path of perfection. And that conviction can be increased by every day, you know, regularly regularly performing devotional activities. And on the other side, commitment is also equally important. Commitment to the activities of Krishna consciousness, where we sincerely and seriously put our endeavor to improve in Krishna consciousness. And in this verse, there is one important word that is I would like to highlight. That is, kintu adarat anudinam khalu saiva jushta. So how to perform this devotional service? With adar, with respect. So Rupa Goswami mentions this adar, respect, is nothing but carefully perform the devotional activities. Attentive, that is what is mentioned. So both conviction and commitment will help us to progress in our, you know, devotional service. And the conviction and commitment, they complement each other. By increasing our conviction, we can also increase our commitment in the form of, you know, quantity and quality of our devotional service. And while increasing our commitment, then our conviction also increases. So that is how they complement each other. So in the beginning, what we discussed was, you know, how, whether a brahmachari wants to stay in brahmachari ashram, or whether he wants to fulfill his desires in a proper way by entering into grihastha ashram, whatever may be. The process of purification is necessary. One has to go through it. And we can also see ourselves, where do we stand in the process of devotional service, by exploring the details of the 9 stages of bhakti, beginning with adav shraddha, sadhu sang, bhajana kriya, and then up to prema. The most difficult and the longest part of this 9 stages is anartha nivritti, very painful. And we have mentioned about the examples of Putana and Kaliya. So although it was painful, they went through it, you know, reluctantly, but finally it is relishable. At the end, initially devotional service may be very bitter, but gradually we can experience the sweetness of devotional service as we progress, you know, through the 9 stages of bhakti. And so many different kinds of offenses that we have to avoid in the process of our journey on the path of devotional service, especially avoiding offenses, the 10 offenses against the holy name, and also against the devotees who are propagating the holy names. So chanting offenselessly, chanting and then chanting attentively, that will help us progress in our bhakti. And then finally we discussed about the conviction, commitment. So these two are very important. So by consciously putting endeavor on the path of devotional service, we have a hope that one day we will also attain the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'll stop here. Anyone has any comment or question. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.